Oh, I love that video. It's so funny because we all have expectations for what our marriage, what our relationship is going to look like. Well, my name is Pastor Ryan, and I am one of Pastor Kerry and Chris's sons. You may know me as the Shook brother who can't sing, but I also have a beautiful family. I love being part of this family, part of this community, and we're in the series Marriage Masterpiece, where we're talking about God's design, not just for marriage, but for really all kinds of relationships. And now I've been married to my wife, Sarah, for 12 years, so I have some experience. I've got a long way to go. I know you guys have a lot more experience in this room, some of you, but we also now have an amazing son named Ben, who's 9, and an incredible daughter named Joanna, who's 7. Here's a picture of us on a recent trip together. We went on a trip. This is one of those rare photos together where we actually are all smiling. You know how it is on a family trip. Only one out of every 10 or so pictures are actually good, and this is one of those. And so we love our family. We love to be blessed in relationship, and we love being part of this church. And I've been fortunate to grow up around a lot of really strong marriages. I really look up to my parents and their marriage. They really lived out what they preached. But I also look up to Sarah's parents and their marriage as well. They both set great examples for us as we went into marriage. And now that I've been a pastor for about 10 years, and I've been able to get a closer look at both really healthy marriages and some unhealthy marriages, I want to share a secret with you. This is a secret that if I could go back in time and tell myself 12 years ago before I got married, just one thing, and trust me, there are a lot of things I would have told myself 12 years ago that I wish I knew now, but this is the one thing that I feel would be most important and most impactful to me. And so I'm ready to get into it with you and really unpack what this idea is. So we all go into relationship with a box of hopes, dreams, and desires. It's an invisible box. It's not totally defined. If you're single and you're not dating anyone yet, then this could be a very undefined box for you, a very unclear box. But as you begin to move into relationship, and some of you are going to the singles event tonight, which I'll tell you a little bit more about later in the service, but you might want to be thinking about what's in this box, because as you move into relationship and as you move into a significant connection with someone else, you begin to really unpack these hopes, dreams, and desires as it relates to a future together. If you're engaged, hopefully you've already talked with your fiance about what your hopes and dreams and desires are. And if you're married, you should definitely know what's in your spouse's box. Now, some of you know what's in here and some of you don't, which is part of the problem, which we're going to talk about today. And when we think about hopes, dreams, and desires, we all have an idea about, let's see, we all have an idea about this stuff right here, money. We're going to have a lot of money, or we don't need much money. We can get by on our love alone, or we're going to be a dual income family, or I'm going to be a stay-at-home dad or a stay-at-home mom. Maybe we're going to have a budget. No, we're not going to have a budget. That sounds like an allowance. I'm not going to do that again. But you have some ideas about what money will look like in this relationship. Maybe you also have some ideas about how you're going to spend your time. We're going to spend time with my friends. We're going to spend time with your friends. You can go golfing on the weekends. I don't care what you do. Or we're going to make sure our friends never see each other. You have ideas about how you'll handle your time. Then also, when it comes to cleaning around the house or cleaning chores, you have some idea about how chores are going to get done, right? We're going to divide things up. You're going to handle it. Maybe when it comes to cooking, you have some idea about who's going to cook, who's not going to cook. Maybe you're just like, we're just going to do Uber Eats every day. We're not going to cook. What are you talking about? You also have ideas about traveling. Where do you want to go? Maybe you want to travel around the world. Maybe you want to see every place, and you guys have a bucket list of places you want to see. Or maybe you're like, you know what? Texas was a country at one point. We're just going to stay here locally. We don't need to go anywhere else. Then you also have an idea about what kind of car you're going to drive. Maybe you're trying to convince your significant other to still let go of the sports car, and they won't do that. Or some of you I've seen have already traded up to like a Sprinter van with all your family, and I love that for you. I'm thankful for that. You also have some idea about how you're going to handle your living situation. Are you going to live in a home? Are you going to live in the suburbs? Are you going to live in the city? Maybe if you're like my wife, you're going to live like on a homestead somewhere off the grid with a lot of animals. Maybe also you have an idea about how you're going to handle your calendar. And some of you, your spouse told you before you got married, you know what, my family, we only need 3 holidays with my side of the family. And that sounded really good to you until you realized that it was Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving. And now you're like, wait a minute, hang on, when are we going to see my family? Hold on. Then you probably have an idea about what your family will look like. This is a big one. You know, we're going to have one child, or maybe you're an only child and you say, you know what? No, we're going to have at least two. And then some of you are like, no, we're going to keep going until we have a boy. I have some friends who are like that. We're going to make sure we have a boy. And some of you just already have that sprinter van out in the parking lot and you've got a football team of kids. And that's amazing. And then there's a really big one, which is conflict resolution. How are you going to handle conflict? This is a big one, and this is important, and this is one that can cause issues. Because when it comes to conflict, we all have an idea about how we're going to handle conflict, fights. Some of you have said, you know what, when it comes to conflict, what we're going to do is we're going to make sure that we get everything out on the table. We're going to be completely honest with each other. Nothing's going to be hidden. We're going to say it all. We're going to get it all on the table. And some of you are saying, no way. We don't say everything that's true. We just make sure that what we say is true. And some of you are saying, well, when it comes to disagreement, it's okay to raise your voice, to get animated, to get upset, because that's how you get all your emotions out on the table. We work through it, and then we're going to be good with each other. And then others of you are saying, no, 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 we do not raise our voices in this family. That's insensitive. What you do is you stuff your anger deep down. That is how we're going to resolve our conflicts. And then there's another one related to conflict that I don't really even have an illustration for, but it's this. How are you going to treat each other? We may not have totally defined it. We may not have even talked about it, but we all have an idea about how we will be treated in this very significant relationship. If she loves me, she would never. If he loves me, he'll never do that. In fact, I think we haven't really defined it, but we all have an expectation of how we will be treated. Now, the other thing is we all try to figure out what's in the box, and we all have hopes, dreams, and desires, and we all have an idea about what our hopes, dreams, and desires are. And one of the things that impacts these hopes, dreams, and desires, whether you've defined them or not, is what we've seen and what we've heard. What we've seen and what we've heard. Maybe it's in social media, we see influencers, or maybe there's a celebrity we follow, or maybe it's someone down the street who we really admire that has a big impact on what we put into this box. But the thing that probably most impacts what we put into our hopes, dreams, and desires box is what we've experienced. It's what we've experienced that really impacts our hopes, dreams, and desires. And this is such a big deal, and it's complicated, and it's emotional, but it's important to talk about because most of the hopes, dreams, and desires that you've formed in your life come from either trying to avoid something or trying to recreate something. We're all trying to either recreate something or avoid something. Maybe you grew up in a home where there's a lot of arguing or the environment wasn't healthy, and you say, we are not going to be like that. I'm not going to have the kind of relationships my parents had. We're not going to be like my mom. I'm not going to be like my dad. That's not the relationship I want. Or some of you, and I feel blessed to be in this category, grew up in a relationship, in a family, where you wanted to emulate and recreate something. Like, wow, that's exactly what I want. That relationship was healthy and good, and I want that. And maybe it was a parent that you had, your parents, or maybe it was an older sibling, a brother or sister, but you're not trying to simply avoid something. You're trying to recreate something. And even in the middle of trying to recreate something healthy, even in those ideal situations where it is a good relationship, in the middle of that is me. Because in the middle of that are my hopes and my desires and my dreams. At some point in the relationship, while you're dating or while you're engaged or even after you exchange your vows, sometimes it's much later after you're married, at some point though, you can't help it. You take your box of hopes, dreams, and desires and you hand them to the other person. You say, here, make them come true. Make these come true for me because this is what I always dreamed about. This is what I always hoped it would be. Now make my dreams a reality. I mean, the reason that I said yes to you when you asked me to marry you, the reason that I said yes when you asked me out, the reason that I walked down the aisle with you is because in my mind, this is what my dreams look like. And in my mind, this was going to become a reality. But the challenge is, and the tension is, and the problem is this. When we hand our box of hopes, dreams, and desires to the other person, and we all do this, it doesn't feel like hopes, dreams, and desires to them. No, to them, it feels like weight. To them, it feels like a burden. To them, it feels like expectations. To them, it feels like if they don't come through for you, that you might be disappointed. And some of you today are carrying the weight of expectation in your relationship, and you're feeling overwhelmed, and you're not sure where to turn to next. But I want to encourage you and let you know that God's word has hope for you today. So, will you please stand with me in honor of God's word as we read today's key passage and we pray. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Colossians 3, verse 15 and 16. Let me pray for us. Dear Lord, there are thousands of relationships represented in this room, and each one is unique with unique challenges and unique strengths. I pray that you'd speak to us today and teach us how to live in a relationship and connection that you have for us, Lord. We believe that your design for relationships is best, and we want that in our lives. And I pray, amen. You can be seated. Now, in this passage, Paul is reminding us how important it is to stay united in your relationship. United, whether it's a friend or a marriage, to stay united on the same page. But if I ask you today, if I ask you the question, are you and your spouse in sync with each other, what would your answer be? Don't answer that. If I asked your spouse that, what would their answer be? Don't answer that one either. But this is a really important idea, and it's one of the most important yet often overlooked aspects of any relationship, and it's expectations. What do we expect? And expectations are simply this. An expectation is a strong belief that something will happen or will be the case in the future. Well, it's not our dream home, but you know, we're working towards it. He hasn't gotten rid of that habit yet, but we're working on it. You know, she hasn't changed her mind about that yet, but she will eventually. Yeah, I mean, we still have that problem in our marriage that we had when we were dating, but we're going to work through it. It'll resolve eventually, right? I mean, we'll figure it out, right? Right? We will. Right? We will. And so the whole thing is we meet that special someone, and we're so excited to spend the rest of our lives with them, and we're sure that this is what we want. And what do you do when you love somebody so much? Well, you love them so much that you swap boxes with them, and they give you their box, and you give them your box, and what was dreamy and energizing and exciting to you on your wedding day suddenly becomes heavy, and it becomes a burden, and you begin to feel confused because you weren't even sure and you weren't even aware that all these expectations existed. And it's frustrating because it seems like it's all about them. Well, what most of us failed to realize when we got married, and some of us still often forget, is that when two people come together in a dating relationship or a marriage, what you really have are two eyes colliding. It's about my dream. It's about my expectations. It's about my desires. And really what's happening is both people are really thinking about themselves. And both of these people are saying, it's about me. And so what you have is, whether I say it out loud or not, I want you to make sure that my dreams are reality. I want you to make sure that my desires are reality, and it's all about me. And even the very best relationships, even in relationships where things are healthy and things are good, it's two unique people coming together, and the eyes collide. The eye of myself and the eye of my spouse, we come together and we collide. And we usually see four different responses when the eyes collide. The first response that we often see is someone will leave. I'm just gonna leave. You know what? And so what I do is I leave the situation and I say, I don't wanna be part of this. This is not what I signed up for. I did not want to be part of this expectations. You handed me a box of expectations and I'm not gonna be part of it. I'm not gonna hang on to it. This is not for me, and so I'm out. And so they take their box and they pick it up and they cart it off to the next relationship. Hopefully that works out for them. That's a response, and it's an extreme response that we sometimes see. The next response that we will sometimes see, and I have to admit that I'm guilty of this, is we try to win. We try to win in the relationship. A lot of us just want to win. I mean, who doesn't want to be a winner, right? And so they say to the other person, now listen, I know that your dreams are good and there's nothing really wrong with them, and I know that's how you thought things should go, but really, if you'll just work out of my box, it's going to be a lot better. It's going to go so much better for you. And I realize this is how you always dealt with conflict in your family, but look how that's worked out for them so far. Yours is the bad box. Mine is the good box. And if you'll just learn how to deal with the world the way that I deal with it, then and become a little more like me, really a lot more like me, you're going to be so much happier. Trust me, because aren't people always happier when they change who they are to try to satisfy someone else? Of course. It's a recipe for success. It's a recipe for fulfillment. No. So, sweetheart, if you will just abandon everything that you are to become more like me, you'll be happy. Well, at the end of the day, the interesting thing is that when you try to win, oftentimes in a relationship, the person who won is happy because they've got two people working out of their box. They've got somebody else helping them make their dreams a reality. I mean, who wouldn't like that? The only problem is they just can't quite figure out what's wrong with their spouse. But, you know, she's coming along. He'll get there. He's coming along. See, the only problem is the other person is completely miserable, which leads me to the flip side and the third response we sometimes see when these two eyes collide, and that is the attempt to conform. It's the flip side. It's the conformer. It's the person who says, I'm not really happy in this situation. I don't love this, but they abandon who they are to become more like someone else, and they say, well, as long as he's happy, as long as she's satisfied, I guess I'm happy. And this works for a while. It really works for the person who won, and they're excited and happy because their dreams are being fulfilled. And it even works for the person who's conforming for a while because the temperature and the stress and the tension in the relationship goes down. But ultimately, what happens in that situation is that both parties end up losing respect for each other. They lose intimacy and respect, and the connection just isn't there. And the fourth response that we see, which is the most common response, is the compromise. When it comes to responding to when the two dreams collide, when the two eyes collide, what happens is people compromise, and many people think that this is the goal. In fact, maybe in your parents' relationship you saw this, and you said, well, my parents weren't really ever super happy, they weren't super unhappy, they just kind of figured it out. They just kind of got along. They just kind of compromised, and they said, well, I'm gonna do my part, and you're gonna do your part, and I'm gonna keep an eye on you to make sure you do your things, and I know you're gonna keep an eye on me to make sure I do my stuff. And within a compromised marriage, though, there's a bit of scorekeeping. It's a little bit competitive, and it's really all very contractual. It's like, you know, an example would be like, well, you know, hey, this Christmas, we agreed we'd be with my family, and I know there's stuff going on with your family, but we've already agreed to this. We've already worked this out, so why are we still talking about this? And this kind of back and forth relationship, there's low trust. It's a low trust environment. In fact, the trust continues to get lower and lower and lower. And in a low trust relationship, what happens is ultimately we develop low intimacy. Low trust creates low intimacy. And here is the problem with low intimacy and low trust is in a low trust relationship, you cannot be truly intimate because you're not willing to fully give yourself to someone you don't completely trust. And if you're single, I wanted to let you in another little secret, and that's this. If you're interested in how do I become more intimate with someone, truly intimate, well, this is almost nothing to do with anything physical. It's all about trust. And if you want intimacy in a relationship, you must have complete trust. And why is a lack of trust so damaging? Well, because in that kind of situation, both people are a little bit on guard, and they're both a little bit worried they might be taken advantage of. Now, you can go the distance in a compromised, low-trust marriage. You can end your lives together, but it won't be that fulfilling, and it won't be that much fun. And so maybe you're like me now, and you're saying, I understand that it's you want intimacy. I understand you want connection. I understand how important it is, but I'm confused why my dreams feel so heavy to the other person. I mean, I just want the best for them. I just want the best for them. Well, let me try to frame expectations in a little bit of a different way. So in any relationship, it doesn't matter what stage or what kind of relationship, expectations ultimately will create a debt-debtor dynamic. As soon as I take my hopes and my dreams and I hand them off to you and I expect you to come through for me, well, what I'm doing is I'm saying I've committed my life to you. And what's in my box, my hopes, my dreams, my desires, these are now yours. You now owe me. You owe me. You are in debt to me. And you owe it to me to make sure that I enjoy the way we spend our money and our time and our calendar. And you owe me affection. Or maybe you owe me to keep the house clean. Or you owe me to stay in shape. Or you owe me to play with the kids. Or you owe me kids in general. You owe me to make sure that my life is what I expected it to be, what I wanted it to be. And even though both of us are in debt to each other, it really creates a debt-debtor dynamic, which is not what God ultimately had in mind when he put the first man and the first woman together. Here's what it says in Romans 13, verse 8, about what we owe to each other. let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Now here's a question for you. How much gratitude do you express to someone who gives you what they owe you? How much do you pay to someone who gives you what they owe you? How much gratitude do you express to someone who gives what they're supposed to give? To the person who does what is contractually obligated? And the answer, of course, is very little. We give very little gratitude, minimal gratitude for what we have come to expect. And we rarely express gratitude for what we expect. And now, here's the tricky thing about being in a relationship for a very, very, some of you, a very, very long time, is that ultimately, in every relationship, in every marriage, you get into a routine, which is fine, which is good, because there are roles that both parties need to fulfill, and we want to support each other, and there are certain things that you're naturally going to be more gifted at than your spouse. That's natural. It's a good thing. God designed roles for us, and he's given us strengths and abilities. The issue is this. The issue is, as long as they're doing that thing, as long as our spouse is doing the thing that we've come to expect from them, our gratitude for that is going to be minimal. This is what I expected. This is what I expected all along. I'm not going to thank you when you do it, but I am going to notice when you don't. And this happens really often in marriages. And the problem is, if you owe me, it's almost impossible to fully love me, because owe me is a barrier to love me. Let me give you an example. If it's Valentine's Day and I'm expected to give my wife Sarah flowers and she says, hey, where are my flowers? Then I give her the flowers and then I'm back to zero. I'm back to even. I made it. Okay. Well, then maybe it's her birthday. And by the way, it actually is her birthday if you see her. And maybe it's her birthday and she says, well, where's the card and the gift? I'm expecting these things. And okay, here you go. Here's the card and the gift. Here you go. And I'm back to zero again. Or maybe I'm like, Sarah, where's my dinner at? I expected you to make dinner tonight. Where is it? She's back to zero. And if the expectations are always there, then it's always an attempt to get back to zero. And love does not do well in an environment of expectation. In an environment of expectation, it's almost impossible to fully recognize love and to appreciate it. That's why it's so important to really make sure that expectations, and understand that expectations, really remove the margin that's necessary for love to be recognized and fully appreciated. Now, we don't even realize this when it's happening. I mean, why? Because it's what I expected. It's what we expected. It's what couples are supposed to do. It's what he always does. It's what she always does. You know, she's meeting the requirements in this case. He's kind of meeting the bar. He's just at zero now, and he's doing what I've asked him to do. And this is why a box full of expectations, something that you thought was really great, undermines intimacy, because in this situation, this feels like pressure. Every single day of the week. If I meet your expectations, I'm back to even. And I can't ever do enough to make you feel that you love me, that I love you, because you're always expecting something more. I can't ever do enough to meet your expectations because I'm always just trying to get back to zero. And that's, by the way, is why gratitude is so powerful, because gratitude says, I didn't expect that and I'm thankful for it. And it shows the other person that you didn't have a box full of unfulfilled expectations for them. So then, if we have all these hopes, dreams, and desires, and they've been transformed into expectations, and we now understand the burden of expectations, what should we do with these? I mean, what do we do with these? Do we just say, never mind, you know, we don't have to have kids, I don't care, it's not a big deal. Do we just say, we don't have to travel anywhere, you know, there's enough to do here in Houston, I'll just, you know, stay here locally, you know, I don't care where we live, we don't need a house, we'll just live under the stars, you know, love will keep us alive, we don't need money, you know, well, I'll just stuff my anger deep down, it's not a big deal. The sports car, who needs it? I'll just ride around on my electric scooter, it's okay, you know. Cooking and cleaning, I don't know how we're gonna do that, but I'm sure, you know, we'll get some energy bars or something. Or do we just say, you know, do we just say, who cares? Do you just give up on these dreams? You just say, I don't care how I spend my time? Well, the thing is this. Many of us spent years, many of you, your entire lives, filling up this box. And much of what is in this box is really good. In fact, most of what is in this box stems from the fact that you bear the image of your Creator, that God gave you unique hopes, dreams, and desires, and he put them into your heart. And so, the answer is, do you just pretend that it's not there? Do you just try to change who you are? No, you don't do that. The short answer for what you do with this box is you keep your hopes, dreams, and desires in this box and you don't hand them off to your partner, which leads to the next question, which is, how do you do that? how do I keep this stuff over here and not in here? How do I keep from handing off my hopes, dreams, and desires and turning it into a burden for the person I want to spend the rest of my life with? Let me tell you a secret. Some of the truly happy couples in this room already know this secret and could have told you this before you walked in. But for others of you, it's going to kind of bother you. Now, this is not really intuitive, but I also didn't come up with it. It's not original to me. But the best way to keep your hopes, dreams, and desires in the hopes, dreams, and desires box where they belong is to ask yourself one very simple question. What do they owe you? What does the other person owe you? And the answer to that question is nothing. The other person owes you nothing. Happy couples know that they owe each other everything, but aren't owed anything in return. And that doesn't make sense, so let me say it one more time. Happy couples know that they owe each other everything, but they're not owed anything in return. It doesn't make any sense, but this is something that truly happy couples know because they go through hard times and they're happy and it doesn't make any sense. And it's not like they're exceptionally talented or wealthy or exceptionally gifted or blessed, but they're happy and it doesn't make sense. And some of them have a lot of kids and some of them weren't able to have kids and they're happy and it doesn't make any sense. And the couples who live under the weight of expectation every day could never understand this, but the truth is simple, and it's this, is that the people who are truly happy, the couples that are truly happy, live their lives every day under the assumption that they owe each other the world, but they're not owed anything in return. And happy Christian couples then take their direction from Jesus's all-encompassing command, which is this. When Jesus was at the end of his ministry, he got his guys together, his disciples, and he said, hey, listen, guys, come here, come here. Listen, I know when we started off, there were over 600 commands in the Jewish, there were 600 Jewish commands. And then I simplified it down to just two commands, which was love your neighbor as yourself and love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind. And now I'm gonna simplify it down even further, just one thing for you. John, are you ready for this? Write this down, because you're gonna wanna remember this. Remember. So this is what he said to him. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. John 13, 34, and 35. As I have loved you, so you are to love one another. And then, after Christ's death and resurrection, John continued to take that one overarching single command, and then the disciples applied it to all kinds of relationships and all kinds of situations. And then in the early church, when he addressed the early church and clarified some of this to them, he said, John tells the early church this. He says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters in 1 John 3:16. And this has become the gold standard for what healthy relationships look like, what fulfilling marriages look like. As followers of Jesus, in every relationship, in every situation, we take our direction from Jesus Christ, and we love not because of who we are, but because he loved us. And Christian men and Christian women and Christian couples take this idea and they drop it into the center of their most important relationships, these relationships that could be fraught with tension and the dynamic which could go really, really wrong. And when they do, and when they begin to serve, marriage begins to look like a submission competition, like a race to the back of the line. And this sounds miserable to pretty much everyone, which is why so few people try it. And it's why on most days, if you ask me, I'm not doing it right. But for those who do, for the couples who truly treat it like a submission competition and learn the joy in serving, they will tell you nothing beats it. There's nothing better. It is a secret that happy couples truly know. Now, I wanna give you, before we wrap up here in a few minutes, I wanna give you two pieces of homework, kind of thought homework. Now, this is a you question. These questions are for you. They're not for your spouse. They're not for your friend or your partner. This is for you. And my first question is this. What's in your box? What's in your box? One of the reasons that you're accidentally applying pressure to the other person you love is because you're not really clear about what's in here, and it's foggy, and it's just kind of a mess, and your partner's not sure how high to jump and how low to duck, and it's just confusing, and it's a little frustrating. And you, what's in your box? You need to figure out what's in your box. If you're going to the singles event, you should definitely think about what's in your box before you get there, because you're gonna bring a box to somebody. We all bring a box of hopes, dreams, and desires to someone. And the second question is this, and this is maybe the more important question. Are you expecting someone else to carry your box around for you? Have you inadvertently, maybe by total accident, handed the weight and the burden of your box of dreams and expectations off to someone else? Are they carrying around a weight that they were not designed to carry? Have you inadvertently, just because of the speed and the craziness of life, handed this thing off and now you're expecting them to make your dreams come true? What's in your box and have you handed it off to someone else to carry around for you? Maybe you never realized it until just now that you have handed some of this off to your most loved person, and you're realizing maybe after some discussion in your life group, after some prayer, that you need to ask for forgiveness, and you need to come to that person and say, I realize for years that I've leveraged who you are for my benefit. Let me ask you, how can I leverage who I am for your benefit? Now, before I pray for us and we sing our final song, I want to let you know about two important resources. The first one is, if you are single in this room or at Atascocita, we do have a singles event going on tonight at Woodlands Church. So if you're single and you're interested in kind of doing a cool just get together, there's going to be trivia, a lot of fun, go to the website wc.org and you can learn more about the singles night tonight, Sunday night. Love to have you there. We're going to have a lot of fun there together. And then also, I want to let you know for everyone, we in the bookstore have copies of my parents' best-selling book, 1 Month to Love, on sale for just $5, because this book is great for building relationships. At Woodlands Church, we care about your marriage. We care about your family. We believe it's so important to build healthy marriages. And so there's a whole chapter in that book called Loving with No Strings Attached. You'll get so much out of this book. I encourage you to pick up a copy if you haven't already. Also online, we're going to have the link there to order your copy if you'd like to, but that's going to be $5 in the bookstore. And then I just want to pray for us and remind you that God has a purpose and a vision for your marriage that's so much better than anything you could come up with on your own. Dear Lord, thank you so much that we get to join together as a family of believers here at Woodlands Church. Thank you that you care about our marriages. I pray that you help us to take these expectations that we've created, take our hopes, dreams, and desires, and I pray that you'd help us to both define them and then also to learn where to put them. Lord, ultimately, you gave us these dreams so that we could follow you and we could live out of your abundance. I pray that you'd heal relationships today. I pray that you'd heal marriages and you continue to strengthen our families. You know, I pray, amen. Please stand with us as we sing our final song.
Hey, church. Thanks for listening to the Woodlands Church with Carrie Shook podcast. By listening, we hope that you're encouraged wherever you are. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast so that you can get the latest messages each week. For more information on Woodlands Church, check out the description for a link to our website and how to connect with us. We hope you have a great week.